So tonight what I want to talk about, I titled the sermon, Think About It. And what I really wanted to talk about is our thought process and the way that we perceive things and just those different patterns that we maybe knowingly or unknowingly have created through various circumstance, the way that our upbringing went, and hopefully with spending time with Jesus as well. And I found this to be pretty interesting is, did you know that your mind can process about 500 to 600 thoughts a minute?
Yo, that's crazy.
A minute. And there were different things I looked up, like what it was from a day, and people said anywhere from like 6,000 to like 50,000. So there seems to be some debate on what a daily thought, like number is or statistics, but it's amazing that we are constantly thinking. And something that I want to really discuss today is that the one of the most important conversations is the one that you have with yourself.
Dang.
And I got that quote from Zig Ziglar, so I want to give him credit. But I think it's really profound because whether or not we're using our mouth to speak the things out, we are always listening to what goes through our mind. Yeah. And I think that it's something that we can be, like I said in the beginning, we could be aware of, or maybe there's things that are just like little doubts that creep in, or little fears, or little things that say, no, you're not good enough, or no, you're never gonna do those things. And maybe it, like I said, maybe it comes from the fact that you didn't have a dad in your life who spoke positive things to you, or maybe it was this, or maybe it was that. And it's actually a pathway, and they're called neural pathways. And it's the way that we think, it actually creates a groove in your mind.
Wow.
And your mind looks for the easiest route. So when you are recreating thought patterns, you are actually having to literally go against the groove. And it's the most amazing thing, because that's why we experience resistance when we start to try to think in a way that is aligned with God's word. And so that's the first thing that I wanted to touch on. If you were taking notes, Miss Elise is for you. Then number one would be, our thoughts must align with the word of God.
So good.
And many of us, whether we were raised Christian or whether we weren't, especially if we weren't, you have created a way of thinking, and you've been programmed by the way that you've been brought up, your education system, the society and the norms of that society. And so, like I said before, like, I want you to have grace for yourself, because when you start the process of taking thoughts captive and going, no, that's not actually what the word of God says, then you really have to have grace, because it's a process. It may have taken you 15 years to create some of those patterns. And so to break some of those patterns by the grace of Jesus, it doesn't always take years and years, but there are times where it's, you almost feel like, man, like I'm totally going against the grain. Like I continually doubt myself, or I continually am so focused on the negative aspects or the things I'm not doing instead of the things I am doing. And we can really criticize ourselves. And I know I'm speaking from experience. There's so many times where people can, like even what David said, that I'm like one of the most loving people that he knows in his friend group. Like for me, it's just amazing to hear how someone else perceives us. And I feel like we are so much better sometimes, myself included, at pointing out the gold in the people that God has put in our circles. Yet God wants us also to know that he's cheering us on. That it says that Jesus is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Like, can we just stop and think about that? Jesus Christ of Nazareth is literally sitting, and it's not the crucified Jesus, it's the resurrected Lord, it's the glorified Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's thinking about you, and he's actually praying that you would fulfill his call in your life, his purpose. And whether you believe it right now or not, you have a purpose. And it's not attached to anything, any economical status, this or that. I've seen God take people who had money and people who didn't have money, and shown them that the true wealth is when you think the way that God tells you to think, because it changes every aspect of the way that you perceive not only yourself, but the way you interact with other people. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so many times we see people projecting their wounds. People projecting their precepts and their concepts about what life is or what it isn't.
Yeah.
But what God wants us to do is be such a beacon of hope everywhere that we go, because our mind has been renewed, that we're seeing life the way he does, that people can't help but be like, I don't know what it is, but when I'm around you, I feel safe to open up in a way. And I feel like, Thomas, you've had that happen. I feel like every person in this room has probably experienced moments, and I pray it continues, where your life just exemplifies what it looks like to have a renewed mind. Right? Amen? Can I get an amen? I like talk, so give me amen. It's not because I'm insecure, but just in a way, like, it literally means be it done unto me, or let it be as you say. When you speak things out, that's even part of renewing and training your very senses and the way that you think, okay? So there's a reason for everything. It says in Philippians 4:8, this for me is a really great passage to just go and to take and to kind of challenge our perspectives and see, does it look like what this verse says? So let me read it to you. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Oh, I just love that part. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How many people have seen that on a mug? Seen it somewhere? But how often are your thoughts actually praiseworthy? Of course, when you're focused on the Lord, of course that's praiseworthy. But I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be transparent, because I don't want anyone putting on a mask. Nobody's perfect in this room. But at the same time, Jesus desires and has given us a model of what our thought patterns should actually be in these categories. So if you're struggling with lust, that's not whatever is pure, right? It's not. And I'm like, you know, like, let's just be real. Like, we live in a perverse generation. We live in a generation that applauds entertainment, so to speak, that is constantly trying to infiltrate us to say, oh no, like, that's fanatical, or oh, that was for back then. But God desires us to literally have a thinking and a way of seeing things that is pure and that is right. And it's, you know, so I can go on that forever, but I just think, like, don't just hear that verse and go, okay, cool, I've heard that X amount of times. But look at that and actually challenge yourself to say, are my thoughts the type of thoughts that Philippians 4:8 is talking about? And if not, number two for you, Miss Elise, we have authority over lies. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we demolish, like, if you demolish a building, there is nothing left standing. We demolish arguments,
right,
and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, that means you make it Jesus' prisoner, every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. The language here is not passive. You would know that, my literature friend, Morgan. It is not passive language that he's using here. It is warrior-like, totally go after any thought. And I heard a pastor one time, I think it was Stephen Furtick, and he said that we have to set up like a security system, just like you would see in an airport, but we have to set those up in our mind. And again, have grace for yourself, because it's a process. But we can't just let any thought continue to go over and to circulate, because that's meditating. Meditating is thinking over and over again. And it's kind of like what David was talking about last week, talking about the word of God and to speak it out, to ask the Holy Spirit to empower us. So what I think is to realize you're not alone in this. You don't have to just do like how they're like those self-help books and whatever. You have a helper. You have the Holy Spirit who has been given to you, so that you're not just in this and trying to flesh out something that is totally, it's doable alongside the lover of your soul, the designer of the universe, the creator of every fiber in your body, and who spoke the stars but still said that you were more magnificent than the way that even the most glorious sunset looks. You are the one that he didn't just call good, but he called very good.
Amen.
Amen? And it's true. Like, it's not just positive thinking. That's the difference between the way the world goes after it. They take a concept that's pretty good. I'm not against positive thinking. But what I am against is a people feeling like they're alone. And if they're unable to break thinking patterns to think, oh man, like I'm like, have this defeatist mentality to be like, man, I'm just like a piece of junk, or I just can't get it right, or I always mess things up. Because you, even if you do mess things up, it says a righteous man falls down 7 times, but he gets back up again. And I want us to do that when we start to recognize, like, man, I'm believing a lie right now. I'm believing something that, like, if you just see it even for the first time, just know Jesus is right there, and he has given you the word of God to fight with and to overcome those thinking patterns so that you're able to have triumphant thinking, just like the one who lives inside of you. Okay? It's not even you. It says it's no longer I who live. If it's no longer you, well, then I'm pretty sure that you are no longer subject to the flesh. The flesh is subject to the spirit of the living God that's inside of you. So again, we don't take a passive stance. You may have experienced things and been victimized, but you are not a victim. You are a victor. More than a conqueror is what the Bible says. And again, partner with those truths. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. Speak out the word of God and start to challenge the ways that maybe you've thought for a long time, and applaud yourself when you start seeing even baby steps, even little bits of progress, because that is a start to you transforming your thinking, transforming your mind, and becoming more and more like the one who we've been talking about we're supposed to be like. It's all about Jesus, and you're made in the image of God, and you can be like him. Like, what the heck? Like, you can be like God. Like, is that not like mind-boggling? You literally can be like God. I don't know. Go off on a tangent, but like, that's crazy. Literally says that we're co-heirs, that we're co-creators. That, I mean, why do you think you come the most alive when you create? Why do you think you come the most alive when you start speaking positive affirmations into your friends, into your brothers, sisters, whoever? It's because you were created by a word that was spoken. And when you speak things, it's coming. It says that the mouth speaks. The overflow of the heart is where the mouth speaks, from the overflow of the heart. So you have to get those things in your heart, in the way that you perceive things, so that it can come out of your mouth and you can come alive and be that creative person that you were meant to be, whether it's in this lane or that lane. Each and every one of you is made to co-create with the creator of the universe. Like, I'll just sit on that one for a little while. Jeez, so good. So again, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Ask him for help to break agreement with thoughts that you realize don't line up with his word. And to do that, you have to know what his word says. And so take time. And I think David did a really good job about encouraging us last week about that. And if you're listening to the podcast, you can listen back to that if we get that in the future. But it's so powerful to think the way that God thinks, and to start with doing it for yourself, because that's how you're gonna love your neighbor. You have to first love yourself, and that starts right here in the mind. Number three, Miss Elise. I know it's not just for Elise, but she's our wonderful note taker in the room. We have the victory. There was, David actually said something to me about, I don't even know, about me drinking water. And it kind of spurred on this thought. And hopefully it makes sense the way that it kind of did in my mind. But there was actually a study done by Dr. Masaru Emoto. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Bless the brother. But he did a study about water molecules, right? And I don't know, has anyone in the room like heard about this study that he did where he was praying and looking at what the water molecules would do? He was speaking negative things like, I hate you, you're horrible, all of this. And then on the flip side, he was speaking positive affirmations. And the thing that was amazing to me and that stuck out is that even water that was polluted water, it became clean when he prayed over it. Wow. Yo. There were pictures of brown, dirty molecules, and he prayed over them, and they were crystal clear. And I don't know exactly the science of what this has to do with the fact that we're made of mostly water, but to me, it was just striking that not only is it the physical aspect that our thoughts and the way that we speak affect, but it is actually, it's spiritual and it's physical. There's actually physical components that could be affected by what you speak. And if that sounds a little far-fetched, it might sound a little far-fetched because I'm still even working it out in my mind. But let me find this quote that I wrote down that I really loved. Okay, so there's a neuroscientist. So it's science. Science is catching up with Jesus. Hallelujah. Her name is Caroline Leaf.
Yay!
And she says, she's amazing. She's amazing. She's a woman of God, but she's also a neuroscientist. So she uses just the abilities that God has given her and her background to even help to prove the physical side of what God has said. So it says that research shows that 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life.
Dang.
I'm going to just say that one more time. 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life. That's staggering. That's crazy. And it's not to minimize, there are things that are physical. If you get in a car accident and you hurt your back, I'm not going to say that you were thinking poorly and therefore you have a back injury. But what I'm going to say is that this lines up with the word of God. And what if you don't believe what she's saying just based on the studies she's done, well, then I want you to believe what the word says. And it says, as a man thinks, so is he. Yeah. Your mind and the way that you think changes everything. Yeah. It changes everything. And it should be something that just as much as we're active on social media or we're active maybe physically or whatever it may be, we need to be vigilant with what we let take residence up here. You know? And I really want to encourage you guys. I'm up here receiving this too. Each of us is in a different place. Some of us, I hope that you've come to a place where you've really started to see like, yeah, like I used to always beat myself up, but I noticed I still do sometimes, but it's not the amount like it used to be. Or you know what? I used to get in such a dark hole of depression that I couldn't leave my house. But you know, I realized now I'm at least willing to like go outside for a little bit. Like when we're able, no. you know, and just be encouraged that where you're at, that God is going to meet you in that place, but he's not going to leave you there. He wants you to look like the most brilliant version of yourself because that's what he already sees. God is apart from time. He already sees every promise that he's going to fulfill in you and through you. So again, just to reiterate, our thoughts must align with the word of God. And to do that, we have to know what the word says. Number two, we have authority over lies. And I want to remind you, you have to not just lie there, but you have to take an active and vigilant stance to come against everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And number three, this should make us super happy, we have the victory.
Yeah.
You're already on the winning side.
Yeah.
You already have every good thing. He's given it to you. The word says that he's not the father who, when you ask for a piece of bread, he gives you a stone.
Right.
He's good. You can trust him. And it's a process. You're going to learn little by little that he is so much better than even the best earthly parents ever could be. I know these two amazing people here are amazing parents. And how much more our Heavenly Father, and how much he delights in helping us renew our minds and to walk that victory out so not only us, but the people around us can be transformed.
Yeah.
Right? So that was really what was on my heart. And can everybody stand up for a second? All right, I'm just gonna say a few things out loud and I would love for all of us to say it, and I know this can always get a little bit like sketch because we're like, I don't know what that person's gonna say and I have to repeat it, but just trust, it's gonna align with the word of God, okay?
Feeling it.
All right, so I want you to put your hands on your head, and I want you to say, God calls me.
God calls me.
His child.
His child.
God calls me.
God calls me.
His friend.
His friend.
God has redeemed me.
God has redeemed me.
And he says, I am wonderfully made.
And he says, I am wonderfully made.
He chose me.
He chose me.
Before the foundations of the earth.
Before the foundations of the earth.
I have a purpose.
I have a purpose.
I am not rejected.
I am not rejected.
He remembers my sin no more.
He remembers my sin no more.
And he loves every part of me.
And he loves every part of me.
So I just want to bless you guys. And Jesus, I just thank you that every person under the sound of my voice is your creation, God. And just like we wouldn't tell an artist that they painted something incorrectly, we don't sit here and we just will not wrestle with you, God. You call us yours. You call us your beloved. And we want to think the way that a beloved child thinks, Lord. And so we just thank you that you're there with us in the process and that we are just empowered to change the way that we think through your Holy Spirit. And so we just bless you. And I pray that each one of us this week would just notice areas that we're not believing the best, and that you would just so gently, Lord, or nudge us however we need, and just help us in that process of transformation. And so we thank you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we send it in the blood.
Yes.
All right. So that is it. We are going to have a little discussion time.